about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I'm pretty sure everybody knows it's just hot out there right now. Currently at the Gabe Gadget Meteorology Center here at 96.5 KECO, it's 97 degrees, humidity's at 32, and wind is basically zero here. A little bit of breeze, not much. And in our listening area, looks like Mangum and Hobart, you are tied for first place for being the hottest in the Texas, Eastern Texas Panhandle and all of Oklahoma at 101 degrees. Elk City or Eric is at 99. Weatherford's at 97. Putnam's at 97. Arnett, 93, and Granfield just switched. They're at 100 degrees, period. And Altus is at 99. Shamrock, Texas. Wheeler, Allison, Mobidi. You guys are in the upper 90s also. So anyway, it's hot out there. And I'll be honest with you, my Hobart Farm and Garden forecast does not look very good. So anyway, I'll have that later on in the show for you. It's just going to be hot. But I know one thing, we are less than 24 hours away from kicking off the second annual Dust Bowl Days Farm and Ranch Festival over at Sayre. I'm getting excited. I was on my way to work this morning. Joe Merrick and the guys that are helping him, or they're all helping each other. The stage, they just pulled in, and I just seen Max Patton just put live on Facebook that they're setting the stage up for the big Plum Jam Festival tomorrow, the Wild Plum Jam, brought to you by Hutch's C Stores and 96.5 KECO and the Sayre Chamber of Commerce. I'm excited. The RV park, I pulled through there last night on my way home. There's maybe four spots left. And this morning, I'm not so sure it wasn't full. So don't take my word for it, but I'm telling you that RV park is full. It's been a long time since I've seen it that full. So anyway, I'm excited for the city of Sayre because they got a great thing going on tomorrow, and we'll discuss more on it later in the show. Right now, let's check out the prices of grain. See what the futures look like here real quick. Corn down 46. It's at 694 for July, 607 for September. Actually, the July corn is the only thing in the red. The rest of it's in the green. December is 602. March is 609. Soybeans for July is 1610. August is 1487. And September is 1372. And soybean meal, July, $497.30 for a short ton. And August is $442.90 a short ton, and September's $4.16 even. Soybean oil is at 60.21 cents for July, 58.09 for August, and 56.8 cents for September. Hard red winter wheat, July, $8.67, is down about five thereabouts, and September's at $8.58. Cotton is at 95 cents a pound for October and 87 cents a pound for December. And I've had a couple pretty good conversations about Mr. Brian Silk, aka Bill Dance, over there in the Delhi area. His sugar crop, he's making a little money today. It's up 0.0045 cents. So he may be in the green today. Anyway, with the sugar that he's got over there under a couple of his pivots. Supposedly, I haven't physically seen him. It might be a myth. I don't know. Anyway, I've had some pretty good conversations about his sugar crop here lately. Anyway, that's what he gets for naming me Cousin Jimmy. Anyway, let's see here. Cash grain prices in Oklahoma. Let me refresh that, make sure it's correct. Yep. Hard red winter wheat in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle at the elevators, $8.58. Corn's at $6.06. And Milo's at 6.06 also. Whoa, let me back up. I'm all way backwards. I'm reading the futures there. Let me go to the cash grain prices. Sorry about that. They're all the same color today. Usually they're a different color. Hard red winter wheat cash grain prices is $7.98. Hope I didn't startle anybody. Corn's at $7.42 and Milo's at $6.45 and soybeans in Oklahoma or Texas at the elevators is at $14.72 a bushel. All right, let's see what's causing all the chaos today in the world. Soybean and grains all dropped in overnight trading on concerns about the demand of the dollar as the dollar strengthens and as talks to get Ukraine grains to local global consumers continue. Demand for U.S. products may wane as the dollar, which is at its strongest level in 24 years, continues to strengthen against peers and is a strong greenback, makes dollar denominated commodities more expensive for global buyers. The U.S. currency is now on par with the euro for the first time in 20 years and has continued to strengthen against global currencies amidst fiscal policy tightening and investors flee to haven investment amid economic uncertainty. The value of the dollar was up another 0.7% overnight against a basket of global counterparts. Prices also may be falling as a deal to get Ukraine grains exported may have finally been reached, though nothing has yet been finalized. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. We got Russia involved, so I wouldn't hold the breath. Russian forces continue to attack Ukraine, stranding wheat and corn in the Black Sea ports. Talks have been ongoing in a bid to help the end of the food crisis developed as the attacks on Ukraine continue. Few countries are buying Russian grain, and at least so far, Ukraine has been unable to ship much of its agriculture products due to the continuing attacks. Still, a meeting between Ukraine, Russia, Turkey, and the United Nations that lasted 3 hours bore some fruit yesterday, according to the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who after the meeting called the talks a ray of hope, but said they were still not fully done. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 13 and a quarter cents to $13.36 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell to $2.70 to $399.80 a short ton, while soybean oil futures lost 1.12 cents to 55.59 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was down 4 3/4 to $5.90 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery lost 6 1/4 cents to 804.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures declined 6.5 cents, and they are now at $8.55 3/4 a bushel. Well, ethanol output last week dropped to the lowest level in almost 2 months while inventories increased, according to data from the United States Energy Information Administration. Production of biofuel in the week that ended on July 8th declined to an average of 1.005 million barrels a day. That's down from 1.044 million dollars barrels per day on average and the lowest output since the 7 days it ended on May the 13th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region of ethanol, output was averaged around 944,000 barrels a day. That's down from 986,000 barrels a week earlier, and the lowest since last May. Gulf Coast production fell to 23,000 barrels a day, and that is usually they hanging around 24,000 barrels from what I read all the time. The East Coast output increased though to 13,000 barrels a day, up by 1,000 barrels from the previous week, and Rocky Mountain production also rose to 15,000 barrels a day, where they usually average around 14,000 barrels a day. Ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, rose to 23.6 million barrels in the week through July 8th, according to the government. That's up from the 23.49 barrels a week earlier and the highest level since the 7 days it ended on June the 3rd. Well, surprise, surprise, heat advisories issued from South Dakota through Texas. Heat advisories have been issued in a narrow stretch of land from northern South Dakota all the way to South Texas, according to the maps from the National Weather Service. In parts of South Dakota and Nebraska, heat indexes today are forecast to reach as high as 101 degrees Fahrenheit, and we've already hit that at Hobart and Mangum. So anyway, we're already there. Values in parts of central Kansas likely will reach 106 degrees this afternoon. In southern Oklahoma and northern Texas, heat indexes may top out at around 110 degrees. Those working outside are advised to take extra precautions to avoid heat-related illnesses, according to the National Weather Service. But further east in parts of Iowa and Illinois, they might get some rain this afternoon and lots of lightning from what I heard. Showers and scattered thunderstorms will develop late this evening through tonight. The main threats will be lightning and local heavy rainfall. Anyway, but again, yesterday, congratulations, Woodward, Oklahoma. You had the big rain of the day yesterday. I don't know if you guys had a bunch of damage up there from that video that one of my buddies' listeners sent me. It looked like a river going through that golf course up there. So anyway, the rain, we'll take it any way we can get it, though. Well, when I get back, let's talk a little bit about the livestock markets on the futures, and I got a report out of Hobart from the Hobart Stockyards from Mr. Rex Fleming, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of information that happened with the feeders at OKC West and the National Stockyards there. We'll talk a little bit about that. Woodward is having their feeder sale, calf sale today. It's going on right now. It'll be over this afternoon, so I'll give you an update on that. Manana, and then Elk City Livestock Auction will be having their sale tomorrow. Hollis will be having their sale Saturday, and then back over east to here along I-40, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on Monday. So anyway, if you got anything, need to go to Elk or to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction over there east of Clinton, give Mr. Brandon Hickey a call, and he will take care of any of your buying, selling needs, or any questions you might have, period. He's a good dude. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisci, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisci, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn, and so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing, 303-4246. 303-4246.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Temperatures crawling upwards. It's currently 98 degrees here at the Gabe Gadget, whatever you want to call this thing he's installed here right in front of us. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook, check out our new shirt that we got today for the fishing derby coming up. Anyway, I'll talk about that here coming up, but these are really cool shirts, and I'm glad I work here because I got one. Anyway, even though I won't be at the fishing derby doing the weigh-in like last year, that was so much fun. When you got, I don't know how many kids was out there, 200, 300, 400 kids. I don't even remember how many was out there. But just to see the seriousness in their face coming up there, because I think it was Candace, Tara, and me running the scales, and they wanted them all weighed, make sure that fish was laying still so they got the exact weight. They wanted every half ounce of that fish weighed. And then when those kids come running up with the tag fish, because them things are worth $100, it's fun to watch. Because I'm totally outdoors person, and when these kids are out there fishing, because I grew up learning how to fish on the North Fork of the Red River down south here at Retrop with my grandpa. And also, I fished the city park back then when I was a kid back in the late 60s and early 70s. And I used to go all the way on the other side of the town where I lived with a stringer full of channel cap fish. So it was fun. It's exciting to watch that. Livestock, live cattle for August, 135.65, down 1.2. October, 140.10, down about the same. December, 146.45, down 1.2. February, 151.17. Feeder cattle for August, down 1.9 at 178.90. September, 181.62. Lean hogs are actually just steady. July, 114.82. August, 109.85, and October, 93.67. Well, yesterday at the Hobart Stockyards, I don't know how many head he had, but looked like they were doing pretty good. Looks like they, in the 3 to 4 weights, they had some weighing 352 average. High was 207. Average was just a penny shy of 200. On the 400 to 500 pounds, they had some 455s bringing up to $1.93, and 5 to 6 weights, they had some bringing up to $1.81 on the steers, that is, and then the 6 to 7 weights bringing up to $1.72, and 7 to 8 weights, 166 was the high number there, and then on the heifers, they had some 352 bringing $1.80 up to $1.83, and they had some 5-weight heifers, 537, bringing up to $1.57. And then the cows. Looks like the slaughter cow deal's down just slightly, but it's still in the 80-cent range. Slaughter cows yesterday was bringing up to $82.50. But I've noticed at Woodward and Oklahoma City and OKC West and Clinton, or actually not Clinton, but Elk City, they're down just a little bit, but still, you're getting in the 80-cent range for slaughter cows, you're doing pretty good. Pears were bringing up to $13.50. Bred cows were bringing up to $12.25. And bulls, average weight was $15.91 there, and they was bringing up to $1.07. And that was at the Hobart Stockyards yesterday. Well, at the Oklahoma National Stockyards this week on their feeder cattle, looks like they had a pretty good run of them. 9,481 head sold this week so far. 8,859 last year. Last week they had 7,600 head. There was a big bunch that weighed 415 average, brought it 210 on the steers, and they had some 565s, brought up to $1.97.50. 677 weights, $188 per hundred weight. 729s bringing $1.82, and 868s bringing $1.70. And looks like they had some over 1,000 pounds bringing a little over $1.50 a pound. On the heifer part, go through a few of these real quick. They had some averaging $3.90, bringing up to $1.90. 479 weight heifers, $1.84. 628 weights brought $1.68. Skip back, 523 weights brought $1.79, so that's pretty good for heifers. And 788 weights were bringing up to $1.63, and they had some 870 weights brought $1.55. So OKC West, let's see where you're at. I got too many papers today. Boom, I found it. So far this week at OKC West, they've sold 2,500 head compared to 3,000 last week, and they sold 6,200 head last year. And on the steers, they had a bunch that of 70 head that averaged 318, brought 227.50. 25 head that averaged 425, brought up to 216. And they had 72 head that averaged 526, brought up to $1.97. And then on the heifer side, looked pretty good on the heifers. These are medium and large, number one. 61 head, averaged 327, brought up to $1.92.50. 54 head, averaged 422, brought up to $1.78. And then they had, here's some medium and large one to twos. They had 27 head, or 20 head, I'm sorry, that averaged 392 weight, brought up to $1.70. And a big bunch, 134 head, weighed 582, brought up $1.66. And then they had some bulls that they were selling, medium and large, number ones, 25 head, average weight, 321, brought $212.50 per hundred weight. So there you go. And it's a busy week. We got all kinds of things going on in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. But like I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again, probably be the last time I get to say it. I might say it again tomorrow because the party will be starting during my show tomorrow at the first annual KCO 96.5 Wild Plum Jam Music Festival. Starts at noon tomorrow. They're setting the stage up tonight, and it'll run till midnight tomorrow night at the Sarah City Park. Admission's $50 per head. Kids under 12 are free with an adult. The gates will open at 11 a.m. Parking is free. Show goes on, rain or shine. We're looking at the forecast. You're probably wanting it to rain over there to cool you off, but you guys bring plenty of water. There's going to be plenty of water over there. Swim pool's open. Might as well bring your swim shorts. Make sure you bring chairs to sit in. There's plenty of shade over there in those trees by the pavilion where the stage is going to be looking at the all those trees, so it's going to be a good time. Adult beverages provided by the Sarah Golf Association on site. Ice chest allowed. Security will be provided by the Sarah Police Department and the Beckham County Sheriff Department. Wild Plum Jelly Feed will be going on from 5 to 7. Don't miss out on that. Hey, speaking of Wild Plum Jam, here we go. This is hot off the press down there on South Randall here in Elk City at the George Creek Market. She got in a fresh batch of squash, okra, and cherry tomatoes. So you better get down there. I don't know what you're after, but I'll probably be after the okra, knowing me, because my in-laws brought some squash. But anyway, they got a fresh batch in yesterday, and they also have a fresh batch of wild Sam plum and blackberry jam in. So go down to the George Creek Market there at, I think it's 1400 South Randall. You can't miss it. It's right there in the same building as SEI Agritech. And check that out. Fresh batch of wild sand plum. Because I'm telling you, I cover a lot of country out here in Beckham County and Greer County, and I haven't found any plums. And if there is any, they're probably already gone. So anyway, check that out and go see them at George Creek Market. Anyway, that's going on, and then Saturday, this is just basically the start of the Dust Bowl Farm and Ranch Festival. So Saturday is the Heritage Day. The parade's at 10 o'clock. You want to be downtown? I'll be emceeing it. I might even have a special MC partner. Maybe. We'll see. See if she decides if she wants to come. But anyway, you guys bring your hard hats and stuff, because anybody throws any candy at me and it's not edible, I'm going to throw candy back at you. So anyway, it's going to be a fun time down there. And then the park activities start. There's going to be vendors, stuff going on at the rodeo arena, the Dust Bowl Derby, the cornhole tournament. There's so much going on in Sayre this weekend. I don't even know if they know what's going on. Anyway, I'm just kidding. It'll all be fun. And if you want to get in the parade, it's really easy to do. Fix something up. Like I said, bring a tractor. Bring a combine without the header. And bring something and put in the parade. It'll be so much fun. And last year, the streets were packed full. And it'll be a lot of fun. If you want to get something in the parade, call my neighbor, Sherry Dameron, 580-374-2845. Sherry Dameron, 580-374-2845, or get on Facebook, or if you go get your Penny News, it's hot off the press this morning. There's pages and advertising throughout the whole Penny News about the Wild Plum Jam Festival, the music festival, and the Dust Bowl Days is going on. The Penny News is full of it this week. They did an awesome job putting all those ads and stuff in there. So anyway, go get you some. It'll be a fun weekend. But then, like I said, I was wearing my shirt for the Saturday for the 8th Annual Kids Fishing Derby, brought to you by Presidio Petroleum and KECO 96.5. It'll be so much fun. It starts, it's for ages 15 and under. Starts at 8 a.m. and it'll be over by noon. And it's worth it just to go down there and watch these kids. Man, I know there's nobody bringing depth finders and all that, scanners. But anyway, it's fun to watch these kids. And last year, I got to watch a couple older brothers helping their little bitty brother fish over there. And it was worth the sight. So anyway, the miniature golf will be going on. The carousel will be going on. The train will be going on. Cool 94, KC 96, every employee here in the studio will be out there helping, along with all the game wardens from Western Oklahoma. Last year, I think there was 6, 7, 8 of them. I don't even remember. Anyway, Lieutenant James Edwards, he'll be in charge. So I'm sure they'll be checking fishing licenses. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you guys go out there and just watch it. It's fun to watch. It's incredible. Drew last year had games going on. He had tug of wars going on between game wardens and people going out there and playing Simon Says. So anyway, it's a pretty fun time. Well, when I get back, we'll talk a little bit about, I got this deal article I want to talk to you guys about, corn silage. And also got some stuff coming in from Dr. Peel from Oklahoma State University. And I might touch on some gardening when I get back. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 11th. 1,385 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 368 brought 200. 8 at 531 brought 175. 33 at 666 brought 178. 7 at 772 brought 145. 3 at 940 brought 159. 6 head of heifers at 325 brought 168. 4 at 650 brought 163. 16 at 706 brought 164.75. 9 at 780 brought 155. 5 at 874 brought 140. Butcher cows were 39 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 68 to 106. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
-99 degrees, humidity's 29, the winds are out of the south-southeast at 6 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 11 miles an hour. Heat index right now is at 101 degrees. Please take care of yourself out there, wear sunblock, drink plenty of water, and just take care of yourself. Get in the shade tree, cool off, just don't overdo it. Let's see if anybody... is really hot out here in our listening area. And it's just, yeah, we got 102 now at Mangum. Anyway, 102 at Grandfield, 100 at Altus. Everybody south of Beckham County or south of Roger Mills County is all in the triple digits now. Don't worry, it's coming you guys' way. Oh, there's some popped up northern Oklahoma. Cherokee, Freedom, and... they're all in the triple digits now. It's just hot. I couldn't imagine how hot it is over there in eastern Oklahoma with all them trees and that humidity. It was getting it on. Well, let's talk a little bit about corn silage. Let's be clear on one thing. Corn silage is the primary feed source of the dairy industry. Certainty, there are many individual farmers who feed little or no corn silage, but a lion's share of nutrients derived from milk and cheese got their start somewhere in a cornfield. For better or worse, that's just the way it is. Even with its status at the top of the dairy totem pole, I always found it strange that corn silage has had trouble finding an industrial home. Perhaps some of the identity issue has to do with its history, and a portion can be attributed to the inherited makeup. And let me explain. And this article here was wrote by Mike Rankin. He used to be a extension officer for one of the counties up north. Corn silage has been harvested for decades, but it really has only been in the past 20 to 25 years that corn has been bred and grown with the explicit intent of harvesting for silage. The intent for harvesting for the silage. For many, many years, there was no differential between a grain hybrid and a silage hybrid. The rally cry was, the best grain hybrids make the best silage hybrids. Since the 1990s, digestibility has come into focus. Kernel processors have become more of a commonplace, if not necessary. Seed companies have dedicated some of their breeding efforts on developing silage-specific hybrids, and there have been targeted research on the optimum way to produce and feed corn silage. Even with these advances, corn silage, as we know today, came late to the party. That's the way I usually am. I'm late to the party. We just got our corn planted last Thursday. But, hey, it's up. Anyway, there are a few seed companies that invested heavily in corn silage breeding and development, but these efforts still pale compared to the resources put into corn grain hybrids and, in many cases, traditional forage crops like alfalfa. At the university level, corn silage was given even less consideration. The number of corn silage experts who can be found at State University would, in total, barely fill a small conference room. Much of the research that gets done by nutritionists, not agronomists, from that latter standpoint, who take corn silage, the forage specialist or the corn specialist at many universities, it's neither. from an acreage perspective, corn silage pales in comparison to corn grain, alfalfa, other forage crops, leaving it to be a minor crop overall. Yet a premier crop in the dairy industry, however, unlike a proscenium forage, corn silage producers need to buy seed every year, which makes hybrid breeding efforts more worthwhile. Got some identity issues going on with it, too. When I worked as an accounting extension agent in Wisconsin, we had a county forage council. The council was an asset in helping provide resources for offering education programs and on-farm research or demonstrations. I quickly learned that a meeting had to be either focused towards conventional dairy farmers or it had to be focused towards grazing operations. If I offered a mixed program, neither group would attend because half of the program wouldn't be relative to what their operation was. Those farmers had their identity, conventional dairy or grazing dairy. Corn silage identity is one of a mixed bag, being an equal split of grain and forage on dry matter basis. It's interesting that our industry mostly considers it a forage. For example, when we talk about the percent of forage in the ration, most nutritionists and farmers lump up all the corn silage into that calculation. He's got an illustration here. This is an example. A feed ration is balanced for 60 pounds of dry matter intake. Included in the ration is 26 pounds of corn silage and 10 pounds of alfalfa. Virtually everyone in the industry will proclaim that this is a 60% forage ration. 36 divided by 60, but is it? Half of the corn silage, 13 pounds, is grain, which actually makes our ration about 38% forage. Not exactly a high forage diet. In corn silage, unique that contribute is a forage and a grain-fed stuff that makes it appealing as a feed. It's the same attribute that often leaves it without an industrial home. Anyway, there you go. I just thought it was cool. And this come from the hay and forage grower. I don't know if you guys get that, but I get it. And the question here is, should a magazine titled Hay and Forage Grower offer information on corn silage? Sure, but we'll try to stick mostly to our 50% of the crop. And there you have it. Pretty interesting. Corn silage be good. There's more and more corn being grown. There's always corn. It looks like there's a lot of corn out in the Texas Panhandle, especially around all those pivots. But there's more and more dry land corn being grown around western Oklahoma than I've ever seen in my lifetime. So anyway, dry land or irrigated. So anyway, it's pretty interesting to think about corn silage and compare, you know, this year you got a lot of time on your hand. You ain't getting crazy with nothing. Compare your numbers with corn silage or sorghum silage and see what happens. It might be better. It might be better for your cattle to be feeding them corn silage because you're going to mix corn in with it one way or the other. Am I correct or not? Anyway, let me know what you think there on the KCO text line, 580-225-9697. Want to come back from this break? I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. It's a pretty easy forecast. I don't even have to look at the computer screen to tell you what it's going to be. And I got an article here and here from Dr. Peel from OSU. And if you got time, I'll touch on some honeybees. Oh, guess what? I had two red tomatoes yesterday, the first of the season. Not fake news either. I'm excited. I'm going to pick them today. Hopefully, nothing got them. I'm having some issues with my okra. I don't know if it's a rabbit or an armadillo. It's not bugs, and it's one of the two. And I'm not sure how I let the dogs go out there all the time to chase a rabbit, and both of those dogs can catch a rabbit if they don't have to go through a gauntlet or something. But anyway, half of my okra is gone. But hang on one second. About a month ago, had some people in here from Kansas and Texas and actually Missouri on the show, and from Nature's Formula. And I've been experimenting with it. I'm going to update you on my experiment. And it's called BioSure Grow. And it's all organic. And it's a natural fertilizer. And if you have some stuff added to it, it's also a good insecticide and fungicide. So what I've done so far, and I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you to buy this stuff. What I'm telling you to do is just listen to what I've got going on. So I have this deal out in the front yard where I practice my chipping so maybe I can win some money at golf every now and then because farming ain't paying very good right now. And I got a circle out there that I mow a little shorter than the rest of the grass. And I watered my front yard all the same. So I sprayed that circle with this. And then I sprayed my garden with it. I sprayed around my garden outside of the panels that I got set up there to keep the varmints out, most of them anyway. And I don't have any grasshoppers in that part of the yard that I've sprayed. And I used the Sure Grow that had the Plus B in it. And the Plus B is just a additive, a microbial additive that can be added to that fertilizer. And it's for controlling invasive crop damaging insects, and it's a vitamin, B vitamins, what it basically is, and it only affects the it's like a natural insecticide, and it only affects the bad bugs, because good bugs are pollinators, the bad bugs are bite into your leaves and eat everything. And so far I've found some dead blister bugs, and I've found some dead grasshoppers, and I don't have anything active. Man, you walk outside that area I spray, it's like a war zone. I mean, they're coming at you like an M60 machine gun off a Rambo. So it works. So I'm excited about it. But it's greening things up also, and looks like the root systems are healthier with it. But it's experiment, and there's some other people in our area that are experimenting with it. And then one of the gentlemen from up north around Cheyenne, he used it on his alfalfa, and he sent me a picture of his header here last week, I think it was. And you guys all know, when you go through and swath alfalfa, when you get done, there's every critter that God made in that header. Worms, bugs, ants, spiders, you name it, it's in that deal. There was not one bad insect in that header. So we're working on it. I'm not pushing it yet, but I'm just giving you an update on how things are looking with it. So I'm excited about it so far. Anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5, and we'll be back with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast coming up here in just a minute.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's see what the forecast looks like. Look, 103 at Hobart and Mingum. Your tops in the whole state of Oklahoma. Congratulations for being the hottest. All right, well, I got a text in before we get to the Long Ranger forecast, if I can find it. Butch Black, I think you guys heard him on the morning show with Sean Wilson on Exploring Energy. Both of them pretty much your energy experts here. Anyway, he texts in, I'm hot. And I told him, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. My truck says 103 around Foss. Well, look in that mirror. You're not hot. I'm telling you, I think you're the same age as me. You're not hot. That's what I was getting at. So anyway, get over it. And Eddie Hargis, he texted in. He's, I can't show you what he texted in, but I mean, it's nothing bad, but just had to do it. But anyway, he told me it's not a very good day to do asphalt work. That's true. And it's a true fact. All right, let's check out the local weather going on in our area for our forecast. It's so hot, it's blank. I'm just going to tell you, I've got it memorized. Currently, at Elk City, it's 100 degrees. Heat index is at 101. Humidity is at 28. The winds are out of the southwest now at 8 miles an hour with gusts up to 14. 102 today, we're going to reach that plus some. Saturday, 104, or Friday, 104, Saturday, 102, Monday, 101, Tuesday, 103, and Wednesday, 104. Pretty simple Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, wouldn't you say? Anyway, it's going to be hot. Take care of your animals, please. Take care of your animals. Check your water tanks every day, or at least every other day. Make sure your cattle, horses, goats, whatever, have shade. Shade, it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler in the shade than it is in the sun. I'm sure you guys know that by now. And just make sure you check your animals. And our grass is going backwards in a hurry. I mean, long 152 between Triggers and Sayre, or the Carter cutoff there, that stuff went from green to brown in a matter of days. So anyway, I don't see anything in the forecast with any rain coming. We need a hurricane to hit the Texas coast down there somewhere around Galveston or Houston, and for it to swing up through here is what we're needing right now. And our ponds are backing off pretty quick-like. Okay, let's go to the cow-calf corner. With Dr. Peel, the U.S. beef exports increased 2.1% year-over-year in May, contributing to a 5.9% year-over-year increase for the first 5 months of the year. Beef exports are growing more slowly so far this year, but the increase is on top of record exports in 2021. The forecast suggests that total beef exports for the year may end up about equal to last year or down slightly. The strong U.S. dollar may provide additional headwinds for beef exports going forward. The six major markets for beef exports this far in 2022, South Korea, 23.6% share. Japan, 22.6% share. China, Hong Kong, 19% share. Canada, 7.6%, and Mexico, 7.6%, and Taiwan coming in there at 6.6% share of the beef export market. Beef exports to China, Hong Kong market are up 17.2% year over year from year to date. still a robust rate of growth, but significantly slower compared to 1 year ago when exports were up nearly 163% over the same time period in 2020. Exports in Taiwan are expected to be up, or are up 35.3% for the year to date. South Korea is up 2%, and exports to Japan is down 3.6%, and Mexico is down 18%, and Canada is down at 1.1% year over year to date. The top six markets account for 87% of total beef exports so far this year. That's down from almost 90% last year. Still not too bad. Beyond the top six markets, the remaining 12.9% beef exports are up 10.3% from last year, and that's spread over 125 destinations other than the six big ones I named earlier in this article. None of these smaller markets individually account for more than 1.5% of exports, and most are less than 0.5%. However, many of these small markets are growing and are contributing at or less collectively to a more robust set of export markets for U.S. beef. These smaller markets are in all parts of the globe, including Central America, the Caribbean, South America, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia. I don't see Russia in there. Anyway, I better shut up. Anyway, in addition to the top six, the top 20 beef export markets include Indonesia, the Philippines, Netherlands, Guatemala, the Dominican Republic, Vietnam, Colombia, Chile, United Arab Emirates, Costa Rica, Kuwait, Singapore, Bahamas, and Panama. General discussion of exports is usually focused on total qualities of value. Beef exports are a component of total demand for many different beef products that are produced by the beef industry. The impacts of specific beef product markets change as exports grow and evolve, and this in turn has a variable impact on our domestic markets for beef products. The impact of beef exports is greater than direct quantity of products sold in international markets. In many cases, exports also improve domestic beef markets by providing a destination for beef products that would otherwise distract from domestic beef demand. Beef exports help to match the set of beef products in the domestic market to the highest valuable customers' preferences here in the United States of America. All right, cool. Hey, also, you know, I was talking earlier about the squash and okra and cherry tomatoes that they got in at the George Creek Market down there. They also got lots of beef down there to sell. So if you're in there, check out their beef products. They got some good ones. Got a couple freezer fulls in there. Do you guys know how many honeybees, different types of honeybees they are in the United States? There's 4,000 species of native bees in the United States. The world's fascination with the honeybees is linked to the population decline during the past decade that threatens the production of fruit, nut, forage, and vegetable and other crops that rely on pollination. The permanent disappearance of pollinators would be detrimental to our society, and I agree 100%. You know, there's over 100 agriculture plants that farmers grow that need to be pollinated. So anyway, keep that in mind. If you see bees, don't kill them. Leave them alone. They're not going to hurt you. People are scared of bees and wasps. You got a reason to be scared of wasps, but leave the bees alone. Just walk away. They'll follow you. If they sting you, so what? Take one for the team. Anyway, the researchers at the U.S. Department of Agriculture report not only bees, but also wasps, butterflies, and other insects and birds are all responsible for pollinating more than 100 crops in the United States alone. When worker bees abandon their hives due to pests, diseases, pesticides, pollutants, stress, and heat, the result is called the colony collapse disorder. So anyway, so commercial bees that were worth millions of dollars were dying off, and that jumped the public's awareness of bees in general. So keep in mind, Help with the bees. Plant pollinators around your house. Plant them out in your farm. Leave some of the weeds alone that pollinate sunflowers in the fence rows. Don't spray them. Leave them. Bees are very important to our society and to your crop, especially alfalfa around here. Anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.